baseball fans. How y'all doing this afternoon? Welcome to RSG's Inside the Park. This is for the next few minutes. We're going to sit down here and in the center field bleachers, and we're going to talk a little bit of baseball. And let me tell you something. I'm excited to be able to see you all and to talk to you all about baseball. I know it's been a minute, but I'm going to tell you, we've got a lot to talk about. We're only like 11, 12 games into the new season. I'm excited. I've got a whole lot to talk about this time. We're going to be coming to you every week, every 2 weeks as things develop into the season. So we're going to sit here, and we're not going to just talk stats, and we're not just going to just talk about your normal garden variety stuff as far as baseball is concerned. But we're just going to kind of dig a little deeper, you know, do some deep dives on some things and really give you some stuff to talk about, give you some things to chew on. So with that, like I said, we're sitting in the center field bleachers. We're going to have a nice panoramic view of the field, and we're ready to go, and we're ready for the first pitch. So let's just get started, and let's just play some ball. What you say, okay? So this year, I don't know if you've been watching any of the games this year. I know you have if you're big baseball fans. But if you've really been paying close attention, you've been noticing on the caps and on the jerseys, they've got these patches that says Major League Baseball 150. What baseball is doing this year, folks, is they're now celebrating 150 years of professional baseball. And you're talking about patches on the uniforms. It goes back to the 150th anniversary of the 1869 Cincinnati Red Stockings. So right now known as the Cincinnati Reds, that first opened all salaried professional baseball. 150 years. Let's get at some thought a minute, okay? 150 years of baseball time frame that saw the likes of players like Honus Wagner, Babe Ruth. You know, you saw this in this time frame, the Negro Leagues come and go. Jackie Robinson break the color barrier in Major League Baseball. Hank Aaron, you know, yesterday, actually on Monday, April 8th, actually was the 45th anniversary. The 45th anniversary of Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's record with his 715th home run over Al Downing of the Los Angeles Dodgers, okay? What was so significant about that? Obviously, breaking Babe Ruth's longtime home run record, but also the fact that you had a black pitcher on the mound against a black player, a hitter, in Atlanta, Georgia, doing this. Just an amazing feat, okay? And for the history books, okay? I could date myself and say that I saw it, which I did because it was on TV and I was a kid. And I remember my father letting me know what a significant moment that was in history. You can Google it anywhere or YouTube, but a great moment in baseball history. Followed also later on, several decades later, about Barry Bonds also breaking Babe Ruth's record and Hank Aaron's record, which also championed or the infamous steroid era, if you will, of just baseball players going crazy as far as hitting home runs, baseball players being banned from the game because of the use of steroids. And now you come forward where you have players like Mike Trout and Christian Yelich, who we're going to talk about a little bit later. You saw great ballparks disappear like Tiger Stadium, Ebbets Field, the Polo Grounds, okay, to be replaced with newer modern ballparks. You saw the great big ballpark in this time frame go away for the little bandbox ballparks so you could have more home runs. You saw the lowering of the mound so hitters could get more of an advantage. And just rule changes, steroids, just to name a few. And one of the most noted Hall of Fames ever. 150 years of professional baseball. And we get a chance here in 2019 to talk about it all and to bring it to you live once again. And I'm really excited to do that. So 150 years this year of salaried baseball, getting paid to play baseball. So that's what we're starting off with, and we're ready to go. So let's get to the heart of the lineup now. Okay, let's look at some of the offseason moves. I kind of teased it. If you all are subscribers to the RSG shows, our podcast, come visit our podcast on RSG. You know, we got one mic, and I teased this a little bit. I dropped the mic on the one mic where we was talking about some of the offseason moves we're going to look at and then talk about. Players like Bryce Harper, as we talked about. All this talk that was going on, Bryce Harper, right after Manny Machado had decided to go and play with San Diego Padres with this $300 million, just astronomical contract, you know, just crazy to play baseball. And we've talked about that a little bit, about he was more of a money grab, and he wanted to stay out there after being traded to the Dodgers for the pennant run last year. So he stayed out there in California, out west, and I just went to, with the Padres. But this move with Bryce Harper, moving to Philadelphia from the Nationals, and what's so significant, you've got those two teams going back and forth right already early in the season, the first 11 or 12 ball games, and you know they got the Nationals fans really giving it to Bryce. So this is going to really be something to really look at throughout the season. The Phillies also picked up Andrew McCutchen. So the Phillies are really trying to make a move here with some name players, if you will, to try to make a move to make a playoff push, it looks like to me, here in 2019 in that East. You know, you saw the resurgence of the Atlanta Braves and stuff. So now I guess the Phillies saying it's time for them to try to also get themselves, you know, back in the mix. We also look at other moves that kind of went under the radar, but still it's like, oh, really? We got these. We talked about again, Robinson Cano going back to the Big Apple, this time playing with the Mets. Okay, and the Mets, we're going to keep our eyes open for the Mets. Last year, I thought the Mets was going to be that team to kind of make a push, and then they just kind of fell apart with injuries and everything. But they went and got Robinson Cano, brought him back to the Big Apple. So I can't wait for that Subway Series to take on, and we're going to really see what that looks like and how does the Yankee fans now, you know, greet Robinson Cano now that he's back in New York. That's going to be really interesting to see that as well. Other big moves that we're talking about. Well, not really big moves, but just kind of like under the radar moves. Yasiel Puig. Yasiel Puig, to me, very talented ball player, but he got to get his head on straight a little bit, if you ask me. But you got Yasiel Puig now. He's playing in Cincinnati. And I don't know how many of you had an opportunity to see just the other day. There was this brawl already. I mean, we're still in the first week of baseball, going into the second week of the season. And here's Yasiel Puig jumping off the bench. It was kind of nice to see Cincinnati go against Pittsburgh, an old rivalry from back in the day with the American League, with National League East and West. Back in the day, the Big Red Machine and Pop Stargell. And I'm dating myself again on that. But still, there was a little bit of an incident where the pitcher of the Pirates, Chris Archer, okay, got a home run hit off of him. And then the hitter just kind of like stood there and posed. And the next time up, what we saw was he threw the ball at it. Chris Archer threw the ball at the hitter, which started a brawl. And then this brawl, Yasiel Puig came off the bench because the Reds were up there actually batting. And Yasiel Puig came off the bench and just clowned. I'm kind of watching it right now on Major League Baseball as we're talking about it. But he clowned, and now I see right now that he just got suspended two games, for coming off the bench, and Chris Archer just got suspended 5 games. That's just happened. So, you know, baseball is alive and well, and we're not even in the midst of a pennant race yet, and we're already got players going crazy. But Yasiel Puig quickly made his presence known, not so much by what he's doing on the field yet, but just what he's doing in the dugout and coming off the field. So that to me right now is like, here we go. But that's just some of the moves that were made with some of the players that we're looking at. Other moves that we're looking at, offseason moves that we're looking at. You had some managers that were hired here for 2019 that we didn't look at. You know, you got some, again, that we're going to have to wait and see on Brandon Hyde in Baltimore or Rocco Baldelli in Minnesota. They kind of fell under the radar, and we'll see what they do with those teams. Obviously, Baltimore is going to struggle a little bit in that loaded East. You just got some good teams in there, topping off with Boston and with New York. But then you've got, you know, you've got them. Baltimore allowed Adam Jones to move on, so they're doing a little bit of rebuilding out there. So, but they've got a new manager. But the one I really want to focus in on, is the Anaheim Angels. Now, anybody who listened to our podcast know that for the last several years, I've been trumpeting the dismissal of Mike Socha. I felt like Mike Socha, with the team that he had worn out his welcome. That team should have been better than what they was with the payroll that they have. You got the likes of Mike Trout. You've got the likes of Albert Pujols and several other players, Justin Upton, and that they should have been a better team. They should have been competing better. Not so much they should have been winning the West, which they did a couple of years ago, but got beat by Kansas City, who went on to win the World Series. But that team started to do a decline after that. So this past offseason, finally, the Angels and Mike Socha parted ways, which I'm like, okay, let's see who they get. You've got a young Mike Trout that's going into his prime, arguably one of the best baseball players right now in the league. And what are you going to do? You've got an aging Albert Pujols who wants to at least run for another championship. Who are you going to get in there to run this team? What veteran manager can you get to run this team and get them up and running? And lo and behold, to coin a phrase from another sport, the Angels dropped the ball and then kicked it out of bounds. They go and hire Brad Ausmus, who was with the Detroit Tigers, who couldn't manage himself out of a wet paper bag with a hole in it. Please help me understand, what were you thinking with this hire? Okay, this is a man in Brad Ausmus who had the Detroit Tigers shortly after losing the World Series to the Giants, okay, after the retirement of Jim Leland. Here's a man who had this team for 5 years. He had a healthy Miguel Cabrera. He had a healthy Victor Martinez. He had pitching staffs with Justin Verlander, David Price, Max Scherzer. These are the type of players that he had, okay? Not necessarily Max Scherzer and David Price at the same time. But the fact of the matter is, these teams in Detroit were stacked. And in two of those years, they were sellers at the trade deadline because they were so out of it. Some of the moves that he made, in-game moves, were so horrendous. They were so heinous, okay, for the team that he had. I don't know how that in the world that the Angels thought that this was going to be a good move, all right? And already, okay, you have the Angels getting off to a slow start, all right? I'm going to watch this one myself, not so much that I'm an Angels hater. I think that when you got a player like a Mike Trout, a transcendent player like Mike Trout, you've got to do all you can they've kind of locked him up. You've got to do all you can. No, not just with what you're putting on the field, but what you're putting to run this team to try to win a championship. And I really do believe at this point, in my opinion, that the Angels have done that team a disservice with this hire. Okay? Brad Ausmus with the Detroit Tigers, in that 5 years that he was the Detroit Tigers, was 318 and a 338 record. He was below 500, okay, with some of the best talent keep in mind that you've got more Tiger players right now that's playing with other teams and winning championships, okay? Martinez with Boston right now was with the Detroit Tigers. Justin Verlander was with the Detroit Tigers. David Price was with the Detroit Tigers. This didn't make sense that this manager right here could not figure it out with a loaded veteran team. And then the Angels go and hire him. Watch and see. I'll probably be talking. I don't want to run nobody off, but I'll probably be talking about this a lot this year. So we'll stay tuned to that. And then another move that's going to be happening at the end of this year, while we're talking about managers, is the venerable one that's in San Francisco. Mr. Bruce Bochy has announced that he's going to be retiring at the end of this year after his 25th season as a manager in Major League Baseball. And what an illustrious career has been for Bruce Bochy. Bruce Bochy has been to 4 World Series, taken 2 teams to the World Series, the San Diego Padres and the San Francisco Giants, in which he's won 3. So this is going to be, you know, I hope they give him a happy, healthy farewell, regardless of what season, how the season turns out for the Giants. This is a man that is truly deserving of a fond farewell, you know, in his last season as manager. Let's look at some early surprises this year. You know, as we're going again, we're only like 11, 12 games in, so we don't want to get too crazy, right? We don't want to get too out there and too deep because we got a lot of baseball still to be played. But as fans, we're excited. The weather's getting warmed up a little bit, and some players came out and some teams just came out like it's mid-season, and some act like they're still in spring training. And if you ask me, you know, when you start looking at baseball in late March, early April, yeah, you can kind of make it to say, yeah, that's a little bit of extended spring training. And now we're going to start trying to get strong on some things. But that being said, let's look at Lex's early surprises. Okay, let's look at some of the players. Now, it shouldn't be no surprise the players I'm going to mention here, but Mike Trout and Christian Yelich, you know, the two MVPs from a year ago, you know, or should be MVPs, are on fire. Okay, no disrespect to Mookie Betts, but Mike Trout, Christian Yelich are just flat out on fire right now. Okay, like I said, we're 11, 12 games in. Both Yelich has got 13 hits and 5 home runs. Trout's got 11 hits and 5 home runs, including a grand slam. As well as Mike Trout is playing right now, the Angels are still sub 500. But I mean, just absolutely on fire. Okay. A couple of streaks I want to talk about real quick. One good, one bad. You know, I don't know how many of you know about Whit Merrifield. Okay. You listen to his name, he sounds like, you know, he should be the choir director at your local high school, Whit Merrifield. But actually, who Whit Merrifield is, Whit Merrifield is the second baseman for the Kansas City Royals. And of today, Whit Merrifield has a 29-game hitting streak. Now, you ask yourself, well, wait a minute. You just got through saying you're 11, 12 games into the season. How is that possible? Whit Merrifield is doing something that we don't hear too much about in baseball. And let me explain this to you. And see, in baseball, let's say you got a hitting streak going into the end of the year. Okay, whatever that hitting streak is, it carries over into the next season. Okay, so if you do quick math, you know that he had a 19-game hitting streak to end the season, the 2018 season. He had an 18-game hitting streak, okay, to end the season. Whit Merrifield has come out in the first 11 ball games and gotten a hit in each ball game. So now he's got a 29-game hitting streak. Why is that significant? Because if he can get a hit in the next two ball games, he breaks the Kansas City Royals record for the longest hitting streak held by George Brett. Okay, so keep an eye out while we're talking about a lot of the, you know, the mentionables of baseball. Here's Whit Merrifield just slowly going about his way. They're playing the Mariners today. So we'll see. He got a hit last night, which make that 29. So all eyes should be on Whit Merrifield to see if he ties George Brett's record for the most hits, the longest hitting streak of any Kansas City Royal. The next streak I want to talk about, not so good. We go back to Baltimore and we talk about Chris Davis. Chris Davis, brother, what is going on? What's the matter? Chris Davis, as of last night, Monday, April 8th, had gone 49 at-bats, 49 straight at-bats without a hit. Now, that's a problem. You're talking about Crash Davis is what they was calling him at one time. He was rocking the ball. He was an MVP candidate at one time for a Triple Crown threat one time for the Baltimore Orioles. Now, he can't find the baseball if you gave him a GPS. I heard one of the announcers watching the game the other night say, you know, well, he's hitting the ball hard. Well, that's great, you know, but somebody's catching it. He's got to find the green. I can't imagine, you know, what that does to your confidence. You know, you're going to always say all the right things. Okay, but this is another thing that we talk about with baseball. When you got these big power hitters, you've got the shift that's going on right now. You got guys that they can mash, you know, big time. But now when it comes to playing a little bit of small ball or going the opposite way to try to get yourself out of a slump, not so much. They say, are we not paying you to hit the ball to right field with two strikes on you? We're telling you to go over the wall. And this kind of handicaps some of these guys. So even when they start to smash the ball, they're hitting into a shift, a defensive shift that's killing them. So, you know, Keep swinging away, Chris. Keep swinging away. Hopefully, you know, when we come back on the airwaves, you've kind of broke that streak. That's not one you want to start the season with. That's not one you want to end the season with last year, nor do you want to start the season off with this year. So, you know, that's a good streak and a bad streak. Okay, let's look at some early surprises. What about this MASH unit that is now called the New York Yankees? Yankee fans, I know you starting the season like, really, what did we do to deserve this? You got 11 players right now that's on the IL. We'll talk about IL later on. It's on the injured list, you know, with names such as Giancarlo Stanton, Didi Gregorius, CC Sabathia, Jacoby Ellsbury, and others. And it's not looking good for them right now. Now they could probably, if they can just hold off, hold fast for this first few seasons. I know a lot of these players are looking to come back the first part of May. Some may extend beyond that, but that's not the way. When you know you got the defending world champs in your division, you don't want to get too far out there. You're going to need to be going against the Boston Red Sox at full steam ahead. And speaking of the Boston Red Sox, what's up with the start they got? You know, these are the world champions. They, you know, and they're starting on now. They're playing at home, I think starting tomorrow, where they'll get their rings and everything. But before the game yesterday against the Arizona Diamondbacks, in which they won 1-0, they started the season 2-8. 2-8. So, you know, there's an opportunity there for the other teams in the East to try to get a foothold, at least, you know, a little bit. And why is that? Because when the Boston Red Sox turn it on, and trust when I tell you, they're not going to play the whole season like that, but just to start the season like that with a little bit of World Series hangover, for what I would call it, is a little bit of a surprise. You know, it's like, what's really going on with you guys? Let's get it together. But I'm pretty sure when they get home, that things will start to really get it together for them. And the other one I want to talk about, and again, we're going to elaborate on this one a little bit more, but the Seattle Mariners. The Seattle Mariners is the first team already to 10 wins, okay, here in the young season, all right? Here over in a division in the American League West, where you know you're going to have the Astros be there all season. Seattle is trying to be that second team to do a little something. A's have been playing pretty good, but you really want to pay a real close attention to what Seattle is doing. Okay, and they're playing good, really good ball. They've got Tim Beckham over there, Domingo Santana, Jay Bruce coming over from New York, and getting this thing done. So these are things that we were looking at right now to start the season early, to get us interested in April baseball, and let's see where it goes. So now we're going to now move into what I call the seventh inning stretch, where we're going to kind of just talk a little bit more in depth about, it could be a topic, it could be what's going on, it could be a player, or it could be a team, or it could be teams. And this is what we're calling this year the seventh inning stretch. And this year's seventh inning stretch, I want to focus on a couple of teams. And let me preface it by telling you this. We don't want to get into too much right now about what is the early season prediction. We already know that we're going to have Boston, New York, Houston, the Braves, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Milwaukee Brewers. All these teams are going to be they're going to find their way, okay? And I'm not going to bore you with who do I think going to win the World Series right now. What I want to talk about to start this season is we talk about teams that are going to a championship or have gone to championships. We've got winning pedigree, if you will. And then you start to I start looking at fan bases and wonder, you know, when is it going to happen for them? All right. Now, baseball, we, you know, 150 years, that means that the majority of these teams have all got some sort of history, some sort of championship pedigree somewhere. Right. But I'm going to focus on a couple of teams that don't necessarily. OK. And what does that mean for their fan bases? Primarily, I'm talking about the Seattle Mariners and the Washington Nationals. And let's start with the Nationals a little bit, because theirs is an interesting story. See, the Washington Nationals, this version of the Washington franchise, back in the day, they had their own franchise. It was called the Washington Senators. They won World Series championships and everything. But they had two franchises come to Washington prior to the Nationals, and they went to other places. One went to Minnesota, okay, and they are now the Minnesota Twins. The other one went to Texas, and they are now the Texas Rangers. So if you know, the Texas Rangers have been to a couple of World Series. The Minnesota Twins have been to several World Series and have won World Series championships. Okay, so now we have this rendition of the Washington franchise called the Nationals, which was originally the franchise in Montreal known as the Expos. Now, if you know about the Montreal Expos, it's a who's who of players that played for the Montreal Expos, including the Hall of Famers like Pedro Martinez, and the like of others. I can go all the Ellis Valentine. I can go all down the row with that. Okay, that played with the Montreal Expos. Moises Alou, just a fabulous team that folded, and was could have been one of the greatest teams in baseball, but that folded the year that baseball decided to strike and not play in the World Series. That team was five games up in the East, and was one of the youngest, talented, finest teams that ever played the game. But that team folded. They resurfaced in Washington, okay? They resurfaced in Washington as the Nationals. The Nationals in their history have won a couple of division championships, have gone to the National League Championship Series, but has not gotten to the World Series. Now, the thing about the Nationals is they've had players like Bryce Harper and Strasburg and now Max Scherzer, okay? To really try to get over that hump, and they failed. And Hall of Fame managers, if you will, like Dusty Baker, okay, like David Johnson, and they haven't gotten it done. And so now you're moving into an era where now the Cubs have broken through and gotten back to the World Series and won one. Now you're a Nationals franchise that don't have your own history. What does that do? Where are you going? How close are you to that? And that's what we're getting to. How close are you? Have you made enough move? One of your superstars, Bryce Harper, is now with Philadelphia. So what does that do for you? And what does that do for your history? We're going to watch the Nationals right now, getting off to just a moderate start. But how soon? And is it for the Nationals to break through and get to, not just win, but get to the World Series? The other franchise we're talking about is the Seattle Mariners. Now, for the Seattle fan base, I can understand them being very, very, very frustrated. This is a franchise that set the league record for victories in the season at 116 several years ago. Okay, this is a team that's had players like Ken Griffey Jr., like A-Rod, okay, like Jay Bruner, just a wealth of Tino Martinez, Edgar Martinez, Randy Johnson. Oh my God, you can go down the list. This team has had, and these guys played together. These guys played together and did not make it to the World Series. Put in a $200 million investment on Robinson Cano. Had Nelson Cruz on that team. Has King Felix on that team. Has yet to make it to a World Series. Okay? Really the only franchise in baseball right now, the Seattle franchise, that does not have a World Series mark anywhere in their history. Not from any other team. The only other team that was in Seattle was the Seattle Pilots, okay, who didn't last very long. A lot of you have to go look them up. Give me a little baseball history there. So this is so now we're looking at two franchises, and where did they fit in 2019? You've got some great teams out there. We just got through talking about the Houston Astros. Seattle's trying to be that second team. Is it good enough to get them to the playoffs? And do they have enough juice to get past Boston and get to the World Series? Personally, right now, I don't think so. But it's been a long season. We'll see what happens. We'll see what moves are made. But those are two teams we want to look at. One has got somebody else's World Series pedigree. The other one that doesn't have nothing, none. We'll stay tuned as we look at what these two teams are going to do. Finally, tonight we're gonna go to our final segment, which is called the closer. Okay, it's the ninth inning. Okay, we're up a couple of runs. It's time to close this one down. So what we want to talk about briefly is baseball has made, you know me being a baseball purist, but baseball did make one move that was quite interesting, kind of fell under the radar. And if you didn't really notice, you'll say, what are they doing now? But baseball, for as long as I can remember, has always had the DL or the disabled list. Well, this year they've changed that to the IL or the injury list. It's like in recent years, the commissioners received several inquiries regarding the name of disabled list. The principal concern is that using the term disabled for players who are injured supports the misconception that people with disabilities are injured and therefore are not able to participate or compete in sports. As a result, Major League Baseball has agreed to change the name disabled list to the injury list, as both for both major and minor league levels. All standards and requires of the placement and reinstatement, etc., of the league of the list has remained unchanged. This change is only a rebranding of itself, and it's effective immediately. So they've gone from, you still got the 10-day IL, the 60-day IL, depending upon the nature of your injury, but they've done this thing so that, you know, they can be a little bit more PC with what's going on, so they're not offending disabled people, especially when we're living in an era right now where we had some political rift where they was talking about not funding Special Olympics and all these sort of things. So I applaud baseball for that. You would think that they would have done something like this a little bit earlier, but you know, like I said, it's one of those under the radar things that I applaud them for. Bravo. I like that. Good job. Now then, if you can do other things, if you can make a move like that, then take on another move that's a little bit more sticky, but makes a little bit more sense. What move are you talking about? How about telling the Cleveland Indians to change the team name? Okay? You don't want to offend disabled people. Let's not defend other people either. That name is offensive. Okay? You can come up with anything else. And I think that in 2019, it's about time. Okay? So, yeah, I'm using the IL as a platform to say, listen, baseball, go all the way. That's a nice first step. But take it a little bit further and get yourself right there, too. All right, folks, that's going to be our first what I hope is many Inside of the Parks here on RSG Network. We hope that you enjoyed our show and look for us again real soon. So until next time, folks, that's the ball game. And I tell you, as always, please drive home safe.